For WILL, I'm Victoria Shepherd, and this is Mid-American Gardener, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. This week, I'm excited to be joined by Champaign County Master Gardener, Kay Carnes. Kay has also been a panelist on the Mid-American Gardener television show since 1995. Welcome, Kay.
Thank you.
1995?
Yes.
Wow, that was just after I moved to this country. When did your love of gardening start?
Well, it started really when I was a child. I used to help my father, and he always had a garden, and I used to help him in the garden, and I really think that's where it got started.
Cool. What sort of things did your dad grow?
Tomatoes and beans and not a lot of stuff, but mostly, you know, just tomatoes and beans, and I don't even remember what else he had.
So what sort of things do you grow?
Oh, I grow all kinds of things, you name it, I'd grow it. And I also have, you know, I do have flowers and perennials. I also have berries, strawberries, raspberries, and blackberries. We do have some fruit trees. Do mostly grow a lot of different kinds of vegetables and
sounds herbs. Like you have quite a large garden.
I do. We live on 2.5 acres, so.
Oh my gosh. Do you have to mow a lot?
My husband does the mowing.
A ride on, I hope.
Oh yes.
Okay, so listen, we have got quite a few questions to get through. I thought that we could start with an email that we've received from Bob.
Okay.
And he asks, in our garden, we have some weeds with very long roots that are too many to pull. If we spray them, how long before we can plant vegetables? And what is safe to spray? What do you suggest?
Well, I would suggest trying to hoe or, you know, till it, maybe possibly till it if they can get a tiller in, and rather than use spray. I tend to lean towards organic gardening, but, you know, it may be that they will need to use an herbicide. And there's a choice between pre-emergent herbicides, which you put on the ground before the plants come up, or post-emergence, which you actually put on the plant. Whatever he decides to use, he should read the instructions, because they will tell what types of plants the herbicide is good for. And
if it's vegetables, though, is it okay to use, if they're organic, I presume, is it safe to spray vegetables, even if they're organic sprays? And, I mean, how do you deal with it? Can you then eat them?
Well, they spray before harvest, and so you can't spray within certain times of harvest.
Okay. And all those instructions on all the...
Yes, it'll be on there. And also the other thing they could do, instead of spraying the whole garden, is take like a wand or and just tap, you know, brush it on the plants that they want to kill.
Oh.
So they could do that.
But ideally, Bob should dig it up, till the land.
Mm-hmm.
And remove it without sprays in an ideal world.
Yeah.
Okay, but check the labels otherwise. Well, our next question comes from Elizabeth. And she said that she has yellowing and dying leaves on the tomatoes, on the tomato starts, and that she's growing under lights. She doesn't think it's a fertilizer issue, as she has used Miracle-Gro ever since transplanting. They are about 6 inches tall, and one flat has it, but others are random. I'm wondering if it is some sort of disease, and if I need to use a fungicide or something like Malation. I usually have them out in the greenhouse by now, but due to this year's weather, I sympathize, Elizabeth, this weather. But due to this year's weather, they are still inside. I use a fan, and the room is usually around 60 degrees. I raised them many years like this, and this is the first time I've had this. What do you think?
Well, for one thing, I would be careful with Miracle-Gro. It's a very potent fertilizer, and it's easy to over-fertilize things with it. So she needs to really back off on using that a little bit. The other thing is, she says the room is 60 degrees and she has a fan on. And that's quite cool for tomato plants. Tomato plants are very hot weather plants, so they thrive in the heat. And so it may just be, and then of course with the fan on, it'll make it even feel cooler.
Right.
So she might want to up the temperature of the room a little bit if that's possible. Also, she might want to watch her watering. She could be overwatering them or something like that. Actually, now it's getting warm enough. If she has a greenhouse, she could probably put them out in the greenhouse during the day and bring them back in the evening if she's able to do that.
Yeah, she said she normally has them in the greenhouse, mm-hmm. So perhaps she can start doing that.
Yeah.
Even if with these cold snaps, like today, I mean, I think it was down to 32 again this morning.
It was, but I have a greenhouse also, and it's warm. Once the sun came out, it really warms up in the greenhouse.
So put them out in the morning, mm-hmm. And then bring them in.
But
okay. So Elizabeth, you might be giving them just a little too much goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So ease up on that, and hopefully that will help you with your problem. Just a reminder to all our listeners, on Saturday, June 9th, Mid-American Gardener fans will have the opportunity to board a bus with Master Gardener and interim host Sandy Mason for a day of garden fun. The beautiful 79-acre St. Louis Botanical Gardens is the destination with a bonus stop on the way. This trip is available as a thank you for a donation of $150 or more to Illinois Public Media. That's just $12.50 a month. If you'd like more information, visit will.illinois.edu/willtravel today and reserve your spot by selecting Garden Bus Trip to St. Louis from the thank you gifts. And we'll also include a link to that information on the midamericangardener.org website. That sounds like fun, Kay.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. That's all board the bus.
That's a wonderful. The botanical garden is amazing.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's amazing.
Get signed up for that today, folks. Our next question, Kay, comes from Paul. And he sent an email saying, I started some broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage indoors. I set them outside during the day and brought them back in at night. I did this for 4 days before I put them in the garden. In the ground. There wasn't much wind, and they were very healthy plants. They now have leaves. The bottom leaves are dying and turning white. The cabbage is still indoors and not as bad as the others. Kay, do you have any ideas why or what's going on with Paul's plants?
Well, it's true that broccoli does well in cooler weather, but we've had some very cold nights down in the well into the 20s. And so that could be an issue. It could also be just a little bit of stress from transplanting. They're going from the, warm house out into the cold dirt, and it just could be a little bit of stress.
Yes, because we don't actually know when he put them in the ground.
No.
We know it was 4 days after
he had them.
So maybe it's just a little bit of time that's needed for them to settle.
And sometimes they will lose leaves like that when they get transplanted.
But it's probably, does it make more sense now at this point to leave them in the ground and not stress them out by digging them up?
It's the forecast for long range is warmer weather.
Yay!
And not so cold at night. So I haven't put my broccoli or cabbage plants out yet, but I probably will in 2 or 3 days once these temperatures stabilize and it's not so cold at night.
So going forward, what do you monitor? When do you decide? Because you can't just say here, obviously. We can't go, yes, we'll do it in March. Do you monitor the temperatures, and when do you decide to put your broccoli and other plants out into the garden?
Well, I look at the air temperature a lot. I don't measure the soil temperature, although they usually, weather stations usually give the, will often give the soil temperature. But it, they will take, like they would take a light frost, but when it really gets down in the 20s, like it has right. been, it's a little cold.
And it's just so erratic. We are going mm-hmm. up
oh, it's
and
crazy.
Down.
Yes, and that's part of the problem, too, you know, that there's not an even temperature. And also, there may not have been much wind when he put them in, but there's certainly been a lot of wind off. It's just
yes.
been crazy. So it could be just, like I said, a little stress putting them out in those kind of conditions. So
okay. So hopefully, Paul, your broccoli will settle and come back
and
healthy.
And as long as it doesn't lose all the leaves, you know, it may slow their growth a little, but it shouldn't kill them.
Okay. Don't give up just yet.
Yes. No.
Now, we got at a last minute, we had a question in about rosemary. I think you have that there, Kate.
I do. Karen is asking, do you have any success overwintering rosemary? If so, please share it. Well, that rosemary is so finicky to bring in. And it's really difficult because it likes a lot of sun, but cool temperatures, and the soil can't be too wet or too dry. And even then, sometimes it just doesn't overwinter. And I did have plants overwinter last year and this year, and that's about the first time since I've been growing herbs, and that's been a long time. So you just got to kind of baby it along, and sometimes they'll look kind of crummy, but if you can just keep them alive, and I never water on a routine basis. I really let it dry out quite a bit to the point where I can see the leaves starting mm-hmm. to droop, and then I'll water it again because that it's really sensitive to overwatering.
That's interesting. So we used to live in San Francisco, and our rosemary bush we couldn't have killed. I mean we didn't do any gardening at that point, but rosemary. We couldn't have killed it if we tried. It grew like wildfire,
yeah.
and we never watered it. And it was so when we moved here and we haven't been successful. I suppose because in San Francisco it can be warmer during the day, and then at night the mm-hmm. temperature drops drastically.
Yeah.
So as you're explaining, it makes a lot mm-hmm. of sense.
And also, you know, Mediterranean herbs. You know, they grow in pretty rocky soil usually, and they often will get, you know, the mist off the Mediterranean Sea in the morning, but then, you know, the water, when it rains, it just drains off immediately. So another thing she can try is, and I do also, is I'll mist the leaves off and on.
Rather than watering them,
yeah.
you just mist them.
Because I think the most common thing people do is overwater indoor plants, especially herbs. And a lot of times the top of the soil may be dry, but down deep it's still really wet. So, and also plants droop when they're overwatered, so they look like they need water. And so people will just keep pouring water on it. It just makes them worse.
Sort of thing that I probably do.
But rosemary is finicky, and it really, but keep trying.
But you definitely have to bring it in. It's not going to survive outside.
No, it will not.
Okay.
It will not here. The only person I know that got one to survive was a person that I knew that planted it right below the dryer vent. From the house.
Oh.
And so all winter long, that warm, drier air was coming out.
They obviously had a lot of dirty clothes.
And
they got the dryer running all the time.
Because rosemary will take cold weather. It'll take below freezing briefly and be okay.
And what other herbs do you grow?
Oh, gosh, I grow all kinds of herbs, oregano and marjoram and sage and thyme and chives and tarragon and
Wow. Well, hopefully that answers Karen's question and can help her a little bit. And then we have just a couple more questions. Sandy from St. Charles wrote and said, Easter guests brought 3 pots of lovely tulips. Can I successfully plant them in the garden if spring ever arrives? Hey, is it going to be here soon?
Yes, she certainly can. I do that all the time. I buy tulips for Easter, and I always plant them soon after I get them home. A few days, I keep them in the house and enjoy them for a while.
And put them outside.
When they start kind of dying off is when I usually take them out and plant them. And they do very well. You just want to make sure you plant them deep enough. You want to plant it about 3 times the height of the bulb itself.
Okay.
So that it's fairly deep.
Now, this leads me to a question that someone, very kindly, one of our fabulous neighbors, dropped by with a hyacinth for us.
Oh.
And smells phenomenal, but we have cats. So are we able to, hyacinths, will that live in, can we put that in the garden?
Oh, yes. Hyacinths
really?
Come up usually well before tulips. My hyacinths have been up for a couple of weeks already.
So I can just take it out into the garden.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's same rule. It's a bulb, so you want to plant it about 3 times the height of the bulb. They're
okay.
Hardy, and they do very well.
And as that's a bulb, that's a perennial, right? So it'll keep on coming back?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, they are. That's wonderful.
I have one more question for you.
Okay.
But as we're talking about vegetables and herbs, if you were a vegetable, what vegetable would you be and why?
Oh, I'd probably be, that's hard to say. I'd probably be a tomato. Because I do so many different things with tomatoes, and there's nothing better than that first bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich from that
Ooh.
Great big juicy tomato. That
Oh, my gosh. So you're very versatile then, are you?
I guess.
Well, thank you so much. We have run out of time. And as always, I've learned something, and I hope our listeners have too. Thank you for coming in.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And I actually learned from their questions and thinking about, you know, the answers. And so,
well, we do love getting questions from our listeners. So many thanks to everyone for joining us for this fabulous episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Broltz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. This and past episodes are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Subscribe and rate with abandon. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or the podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com or message us via Facebook, or call and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thanks again to Kay Carnes, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz. Until then, let's hope this cold spell is coming to an end. Stay warm. Thank you.